It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Reading, writing, and ice cream making? Thousands of Wisconsin K through 12 students have attended summer school programs around the state this year. The head of the Whitewater Unified School District says its summer school program has a new enrollment record, over 800 students. From getting ready for kindergarten to elementary engineering, the district wants summer learning to fill their students' needs and interests. One of those needs, boosting reading skills. According to numbers from the State Department of Public Instruction, fewer than 40% of 3rd through 8th graders statewide were proficient in reading during the 2022-2023 school year. Those are results from the state's Forward exam. As a new school year approaches, we're checking in on the Whitewater District summer programs and statewide changes to the way we teach reading. Caroline Pate Hefty is the superintendent of the Whitewater Unified School District. Superintendent Pate Hefty, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so proud to talk about our district.
Well, your district just wrapped up what sounds like a busy summer school season, a record nearly 800 students. Can you talk about that busy summer for the school?
Yes, we're so proud in Whitewater, Rob. We served over 800 students. That's a record high for us, all in the high school of Whitewater School District. We typically have about 1,000 or 2,000 students in the district. And so if you can imagine, serving 800 in summer school is a great number.
Give us a sense, please, of the range of summer school programs.
Sure. I think this is what makes Whitewater so exciting. We have a tremendous amount of open enrollment families that come and join us. So we ask our teachers to propose their courses, and this really sparks their imagination, if you can imagine. In the summer, we range from ice cream making to beginning rocketry, kites, gliders, and other flying things, 3D printing, music tech, destination glitter, soccer and book club, and animal adventures are just some of the super fun ones that really get people signed up and full.
Now, I got to say, when I was in school, and it's been a day or two, I feel like summer school was a thing that people dreaded, like, oh no, I don't want to get caught having to go to summer school. Sounds like the attitude has changed a wee bit since then.
It has. We have waiting lists for our classes, so we make them fun, and we really want our teachers to have a blast with this, too. But there's a lot of learning even tied into ice cream making, if you can imagine. There's the science behind all of that. So that's part of this whole thing, too.
A long-running concern in schools, and this does go back even to when I was in school, the concept of summer slide or summer learning loss, where, you know, the kids take some steps backward. Is summer school a good tool, whether we're talking a straight-up remedial program or, you know, kind of a fun learning program? Is this a good tool to prevent that sort of summer slide?
Summer school is an excellent time to keep kids connected with the routine of school. We're really proud this summer, too. We identified our students who, through a new reading model that we'll talk about, who needed literacy skill support. It was a real big step for us because this is the first time we've had some of those required classes. We served 232 students in literacy skills courses this summer. So this is our first data set in really managing literacy skills ranging from the school year to the standard year. So this will be our first time measuring if that summer school slide will be improved with this course in the summer.
For approaching a class like that, where there is a very definite goal of boosting literacy, do teachers approach it differently than, say, the normal school year, given that it's summer and maybe kids' minds are on the other side of that window?
We really worked hard with schedules to stack so that kids didn't feel that this was a huge block of literacy intervention. But the reality is literacy can be fun. And our teachers are very well trained in SIPS intervention. And that's an intense literacy intervention for students. And it's fast moving. There's a lot of rhythm to it. And kids have fun in there as well. We were not sure how parents would feel about being pre-identified for those literacy courses. And we didn't have a single complaint. Parents were excited to continue to get their kids learning in the summer, but then they knew that their schedule was filled with other fun things like ice cream making and music tech and destination glitter. So they had a good balance.
I've talked to a lot of school leaders over the last 10 plus years or so about difficulty staffing schools, especially in some fields, you know, during the normal school year. Is staffing a challenge when you're working to have this pretty good sized summer program?
Sure. We had over 100 certified staff members supporting this programming in the summer. And I think because we really allow imaginations to soar, this is a place of passion for teachers. We have teachers returning, and even some of our teachers and teachers from outside districts that come to just teach with us in the summer. So that fun is really, I think, a part of what attracts them. And we had all of our positions filled with a lot of hard work, I should say, from the summer school principal.
For maybe teachers, school district leaders who might be listening around Wisconsin right now thinking, hey, you know what? We maybe have some opportunity to grow our summer programs. What advice would you share with them from your success this last summer?
Wisconsin Act 20 has changed the landscape of what's going to be required in literacy. And one of the things I'm really proud of for Whitewater is that we mix that with fun. So we don't want it to seem punitive. We want kids to keep coming and having a great time, but knowing that reading and literacy is a part of it. So figure out a way in scheduling to mix that in with some of the things that really excite people and teachers and let you kind of think outside the box.
We are talking about summer school programs and student literacy with a new approach here in the state. Our guest is Caroline Pate Hefty, superintendent of the Whitewater Unified School District. Superintendent Pate Hefty, let's dig now into the newly implemented state reading guidelines, law passed a while back. What is Act 20? What is it saying about how we teach reading?
Well, Act 20 is a really exciting thing for educators, but it has some really intense deadlines and mandatory requirements around literacy. The intention of the state is really to bring us up because our reading levels are unacceptable. To give you an example, and Whitewater adopted the practices to address Act 20 before it was required. So I'm really proud of our work, but we started with 26% of our students being on target in the forward assessment. And we closed the first year of intense implementation with 55% of our students being on target, utilizing science of reading. And that's really what Act 20 is going to require.
And what is the science of reading approach? A shorthand, would this be fair? We've been arguing about phonics versus whole language for a lot of years. Science of reading seems like a little more phonics end of the spectrum.
Yes. So I always say science of reading isn't an ideology. It's not a philosophy. It's certainly not a political agenda. It's really consensus. Educators, we love, my kids always joke that I'm not a real doctor, but what doctors do is analyze data, right? And in education, we based science of reading on thousands of meta-analyses on how kids read. And it really looks at two big, if you imagine, I always say friendship bracelets, we call it Scarborough's rope, but two big things, language comprehension and word recognition, which is really that phonics piece. And both those friendship bracelets are weaved together to make reading in the end. So there was a lot of professional development. We had over 10 days with teachers at the beginning of last year training on reading instruction to make all that happen.
How dramatic a change is this? Because when I talk to people who work at schools, they say, you know, yes, there's always some phonics going on in schools. There's some, you know, language recognition, a whole language, whatever you want to call it. And it's just a matter of, you know, how far the scale moves in one direction or another. Is this a radical change for what's going on actually in the classroom?
Yes. So it requires, again, intense training. We did coaching with our principals so they could support and train teachers on this. And I'll tell you, some of our, even though they're some of our most dramatic stories, in talking with teachers at the end of the year and counselors, even our guidance and social workers were surprised at the language that kids could use to describe their emotions by the end of the year. So they were seeing dramatic outcomes even in segments outside of the classroom. I met with a kindergarten group of teachers who, in tears, a teacher told me, I didn't realize I had been failing kids for 20 years before I learned how to teach reading this explicitly, because she saw such dramatic results with her kids. So it's definitely a shift that they will feel and see with their students.
Can you really get into the nitty-gritty for that early aspiring reader? What are the things they're doing with those words on the page in front of them?
Absolutely. So they're to watch a reading instruction segment now in our schools is such a powerful moment. Teachers are 100% clicked in. They're working on background knowledge, vocabulary, language structure, and verbal reasoning skills. We have a 120-minute block where that is all very explicit. You'll hear them sounding out the phonemes. So teachers had to learn all the specific phonemes so that they're all pronouncing them the same. And they pair those with gestures and movement so that kids are actually building little synapses in their brain as they're learning those phonemes. It's an amazing thing going on in classrooms. It's so energetic to watch.
And what is the age group? What's the grade level we're really focusing on here?
The Act 20 requires kindergarten through third grade. We focused on 4K through 5 in Whitewater. And so all of our teachers were trained in the science of reading and its implementation. And again, our principals were trained on coaching on the implementation.
How important is it to give those building blocks at that early stage for the future success down the road for those later grades?
Yes. So outcomes for our kids and their trajectory connected with reading and reading understanding are tremendous. We talk about it in Whitewater that we're literally saving lives by providing this access. It's critical. And we know that the state of Wisconsin, and this is the reason this legislation was so critical, has lost ground in terms of our reading outcomes. And so looking at how we do things is necessary.
What are some of the things parents can do to support this approach to reading? They may, you know, if they had a kid who went through a couple years ago and now their kid's just hitting 4K or kindergarten, that reading assignment's going to look different. What can they do to help their student be successful?
We did a lot of work around that this year because it's the reality of the age group that we're teaching in a 4K through 5 setting is that many of those parents didn't learn phonics themselves. And so we actually held a series of literacy nights around the science of reading and what we would be teaching. We talked about the importance of not cueing with whole words. And our parents really learned about the process in Whitewater. Both in English and Spanish, we provided those sessions.
Now, it's interesting. There are in Act 20 some don'ts, some things that they say at this level don't include in the reading training. What are some of those things and why are they off the table, at least for those early readers?
Yeah. So sometimes this is where education can get criticized because we tend to move from one paradigm to the other. But the reality is that's based on research. And what we know based on that rope I kind of mentioned to you or friendship bracelet is that kids need all the components of reading to be successful. There's a small group of readers who could probably read no matter how we taught it. But if we want to reach all kids, and in Whitewater, we believe all means all capital, that you need to hit all those components of literacy in word recognition and language comprehension. So the law really speaks to hitting certain developmental targets in third grade, in sixth and eighth grade. And there's research about if you're not successful with reading at those stages, that you really hit some life roadblocks. And so that's why they use those. They've backed off a little bit on the need to retain students at that level, which is really positive in schools because that actually wasn't going to be helpful in the entire process. There is some requirement that you cannot teach whole language anymore. And again, that's really more based on research.
And whole language, remind us what that is.
It would be an example of showing a student a picture and having them guess what the word is. And so that can often be off. So a picture of a tree might really be the word trunk, but a student looks at the picture and says, oh, that looks like a tree. Mm-hmm. And so they're guessing what the word is, not attempting to make connections or sound it out. And so that process of cueing has been identified as problematic for a huge portion of readers or kids who are struggling with second language acquisition. It's just not a comprehensive way to reach kids anymore.
What, if anything, does Act 20 say about kids with special needs for reading education, dyslexia or other things that make it a little more of a challenge to put those patterns together?
Yeah, I mean, Act 20 really recognizes the need around to identify dyslexia. And so that's very positive. I can tell you in Whitewater specifically, we were over-identifying. We were almost hitting that 20% mark in special education. And as a special education teacher by trade myself, I can tell you that we were seeing that as a way to access reading services by specialized people who could help kids. But special education labels aren't required for that anymore. And so Act 20 does have some legislation around that that is pushing school districts to say which kids really need the service and which kids really just need robust reading instruction, because we're over-identifying to get that.
You've mentioned another target audience there, people who might be learning English as a second language. How about that kid who maybe has been growing up speaking in Whitewater? It might be Spanish. What kind of things do you do in the schools to help bridge that as they learn to read in English as well?
So we do define, as students are acquiring two languages, we want them to keep their Spanish as they're learning English, and then also obtain the English components. And so when I talked to you about that Scarborough's rope, where the two pieces are twined together, that word recognition and phonological awareness is something that we then do in both languages so that they continue to acquire both. What we found is that our English language learners actually made significant progress on their outcomes. And so when I gave you that original data of moving from 26% proficiency to 55, they're included in those numbers. So this model is tremendously effective for them as well.
All right. You piloted your Act 20 programs last year in effect. You've had some more experience with it now in the summer. You don't get to rest. Here comes the fall and a new school year. What do you have your eyes on as you continue to implement Act 20 and Science of Reading?
So when you think about our movement from 26, we'll be starting this year with approximately 55% of our students on target. So we aren't giving up. Every kid deserves to be reading on target. So we are starting the year with some cultural awareness training. We're working in what we call professional learning communities, and our teachers are going to be digging into the data immediately. So now that we have extensive DBLS data on our reading outcomes, we're starting the year with our kids in group. There's no downtime. And this year, every one of our elementary will be hitting 120 minutes of targeted reading instruction. So that takes about a year to get ingrained in your schedule for other administrators who are making these kind of plans. So we don't change schedules easily in school settings. So it takes a while. And that change will be happening this year for us.
If I were to talk to you a year from today, what would success look like? What would you be celebrating if you hit whatever targets by this point next year?
We're hoping that over 70% of our students are on target by the close of next year. And I think it's really doable moving from a 26 to 55. And so we'll just be meeting the needs of more learners. We'll continue to have a robust summer school program that identifies even a second tier. I'd love to be serving 350 students in reading over the summer next year with fun reading courses, maybe paired with a little destination glitter.
Superintendent Paige Hefty, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Caroline Paige Hefty is superintendent of the Whitewater Unified School District.